In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What a great grace of providence that we come today to be able to celebrate this wonderful feast day that I didn't even know existed until about 12 hours ago. The Lord is great, and our church is so far beyond what I can ever imagine. There's so many depths, and thank you, dear sisters, for allowing us as your Jesu Caritas group to come and experience this with you. Isn't it something interesting that all week long we've been spending time with saints who've suffered greatly in their physical bodies, wounds, in order to give glory to God? St. Bartholomew, who was able to give the gift back to God of being flayed alive. Miriam of Jesus Crucified, who also when she was trying to give herself to the Lord, had her own throat cut, cast into a ditch. And yet that was something which she was able to offer back to the Lord with a voice that, though marred in a human way, spoke so beautifully all throughout her life. And today, St. Teresa of Avila, our mother who received that wound from the seraph, this ecstasy that is given. Oftentimes, when we hear people speak on these sort of things, they try to downplay and say, wow, St. Teresa of Avila was great, but you're probably not going to get there. So just do the best that you can and know that that's a great thing that happens to some, and we can be inspired by what God can do, but yeah, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen to you. But that's something which is so antithetical to the movement of God. His desire is that all would experience not merely ecstasy, but as St. Teresa of Avila spoke about it, as ecstasy being a weakness of the soul. Because in the presence of God, the soul is so weak that it flies off into those ecstasies, whereas in the highest level of total union, where the soul is completely at rest, as St. John of the Cross talks about it. It's totally at rest when God comes and ravishes, that it's no longer sent off into these flights, but is a sort of constant state in that spiritual marriage that's there. Here, Teresa of Avila was given that great grace that not only you could find that she experienced it and talked about it and wrote about it in her life, but even after her death, if you go there to Alba de Tormes, where her body is, I've been there, you see her heart still on display, and you can see the actual place where that arrow pierced through her heart. In fact, since the 19th century, you can see even three thorns which are at the base of her heart, which have made themselves evident as being those internal wounds which she bore along with Christ her Lord. So if we can spend a little bit of time on anything today, it's to allow our Lord to draw us up into that mystery of what it means to be totally enraptured with his love. It says in the scripture here in John 14 that the Lord desires to make his home within us. He wishes to come with us, to remain with us. What is that? It's nothing other than the divine word becoming incarnate within us, as our dear sister has been given such a name. That's what our Lord is desiring. He's desiring to come and to live in our souls, and the movement that we make in daily prayer and the battle that we have is merely in opening ourselves up to allowing the divine word incarnate to be incarnate within us, to let him to let him but whisper those words which only lovers can exchange. Our Lord, as the scriptures say, is the lover of our souls, the divine lover, who wants to enrapture us with his own goodness, and all it requires on our part is that simple, attentive listening. Not a dwelling upon all the imperfections that I have within my heart. Oh, God can't come to me because of this fault that I have, or this disagreement I've had with this particular sister, or this hardship that I've gone through long ago, or how little am I? The Lord looks on us with the only aspect that he's able to. It's through the lens of his own divine mercy. He can only see us in that very same way. And as he desires to come with us to raise us up to those higher things, this grace of the transverberation is not something which was only given to St. Teresa of Avila. In fact, there's a litany of the transverberation that names 39 other great saints, from St. Padre Pio down to Elizabeth Kindleman, all throughout the centuries who we know have received this transverberation. But those are only the ones that we declare as saints. It doesn't mean that our Lord hasn't done so to many other sisters, brothers, priests, religious, regular laypersons who the Lord has sought to pierce through with his love. So in the quiet times that we have today here at Mass and throughout the rest, to ask our Lord, you're here, you're everywhere. Come in some way and visit my soul. I'm not really sure how to invite you more than I already have. But in the same way in which St. Teresa desired the whole of her life to make her own soul a Bethany, where you could take rest, I tried to do the work of Martha, to be your servant, to attend to your needs. But right now, I want to be the Mary who just sits at your feet. You give me direction. You come to me as you wish, whatever it is that you want. That's at least what I want to want. May the power of your love transverberate not only in my soul, but in the souls of all those who seek you at this time. May we be reunited in the way which lovers alone can experience. If this is the movement which so many of the saints have experienced in the weakness that St. Teresa of Avila talks about, ecstasy, which is only reaches its full culmination in union, which is that constant state of friendship with God. It's not something that is only reserved for the precious few. Every Carmelite is supposed to experience that. Maybe even not a few diocesans. With these same sentiments, let us seek to open ourselves to the Lord. He's here. He's attentive. May his eyes of mercy always be upon us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.